get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors. Join Alan White, founder of Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with co-host John Felsher and special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors magazine. Now, here are Alan White and John Felsher.
Well, welcome to the show. This is John Felsher, and you usually hear Alan White opening up the show, but he's not here today. He heard that some other states have turkeys that go into the May season, turkey seasons that go into May, and once he heard that, that was the last we heard of Alan. So he'll probably be back in a few weeks after all the other states close off their turkey seasons. No, I'm just kidding. But he is out hunting today, and he'll be back next week. But I have the distinct privilege of being joined today by Dr. Bob Shipp, the hardest working retired person that I know. He's a professor emeritus of the University of South Alabama and a renowned marine biologist. He wrote Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to Fisheries of the Gulf of Mexico, and he's going to be talking a little bit about some snapper a little bit later. So welcome to the show, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, John. I'm sure looking forward to this program so we can talk about our three-day snapper season coming up.
Three-day snapper season, the shortest ever. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It starts on 12:01 a.m., on June 1st and closes 12:01 a.m. June 4th, so essentially June 1, 2, and 3. But federally permitted charter vessels have 49 days, and it goes through 12:01, 1 minute after midnight on July 20th. And in state waters in Alabama, they go out 9 miles. You could fish snapper from essentially midnight on the 26th through 11:59 p.m. on July 31st. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about snapper on Dr. Bob a little bit later. But first off, let's talk a little freshwater with Don Green. Don, Delta Don, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Imagine there's a whole lot of brown water moving down the river now, huh?
I'm telling you. You know, it's a funny thing. We were talking about everything's ahead of schedule, but the water situation isn't. We're having March fluctuations now in May. Something not really that much, you know, not that heard of in the last few years anyway.
I tell you, I'm more confused than the people who count snapper in the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm telling you. And I want to say a hi to Bob, too. He's an old fishing buddy from down on the Dolphin Island Pier many, many years ago.
You got that right. Those were good old days down there on the pier.
I'm telling you.
Well, what's going on? I almost called you Dr. Green. We got so many doctors. You're an honorary Delta doctor, in my opinion. So, Dr. Green, what's going on out in the Delta?
Well, like you said, the rivers are high. Coffeyville's 13.5, but it's beginning to fall. It'll crest at 14.1 around midnight and then start falling back to 9 feet by Tuesday. The Alabama at Claiborne is 19.55 and will fall back to 15 by Tuesday. And the Mobile at Barrie, it's going to hold about what it is now. It's 5.5, and it should hold that through Monday. And I'm hopeful this north wind is supposed to come up sometime today. Will help blow that water on out, and it'll get things ahead of schedule a little bit.
Now, the brim were running, weren't they?
I didn't hear you.
The brim were running before everything hit, right?
They were having a great brim and crappie week up the river, Bates Lake. I talked to Peggy this morning. She said the water's high. They can't even fish right now. And up until the water started rising, they were just killing the brim and crappie. And, you know, my son and I were there first part of last week before we went to Seminole, and there was a perch jerker in every treetop. they were all catching fish. It was unbelievable. And this high water will do it to you. And hopefully, you know, there's a silver lining in there of a bad situation. And the one here is it's always been the situation that when we have high water all the way up to June, we have a very good summer. It's usually good fishing all the way through the summer when we have late high water. So that's the silver lining. And you know, most of the upper delta. Now, I talked to Randy at Hubbard's just a few minutes ago, and he said that he can see foam out in the lake. You know, it's coming through the Stiggins, and he said it's not good at all. The brim, they're catching a few brim, not many, but hopefully the water will get back down next week and they'll get going again.
Once it starts coming down, it should be awesome. The high water like this, correct me if I'm wrong, Don, but it kind of flushes everything out, replenishes things.
That's exactly right. And you take next week, I'm looking for a phenomenal latter part of next week. I'll be honest with you, everything points toward it. If we don't have any real heavy weather coming in between now and then, the water's going to be back about normal, and the fish going to be going crazy around the new moon and the perigee together again, because, you know, the last time we had that last month, it was just unbelievable, and I'm looking for that again this coming week. And as far as the lower delta and the middle delta, the high water's not impacting it as much. Main rivers, stay away from them. Get back in the lakes and the bayous off of those lakes. And just remember, the fishing will be slower because of the high water. But the brim and crappie should do well. And they won't really be that strong of a bite until about the middle of next week. But then they'll start cracking then.
Well, how about the bass down in the grass flats around the causeway? It should have flooded that grass, and you could work a frog over the top of it.
It's going to be good. In fact, it should be a little bit better than normal. You'll have to throw something that, you know, because we've got a lot of grass down there now. And a spinnerbait's good. I like a snagless out there, any kind of spinnerbait. But my main bait that I use down there when the grass gets up real good, I like to use a weightless pencil worm and just dead stick it. Fish it slow, just cast it out, let it go to the bottom. If you're in a creek or a bayou, don't hesitate to let it fall on down to the bottom and just move it 6, 8, 10 inches at a time, very slowly, and watch your line. Because you're not going to feel him hit it normally. You'll see that line twist. When you do, you better set the hook before he spits it out.
All right, Don. We sure appreciate the report.
Okay.
Let's find out what's happening up the Alabama River chain with all this water that's been coming out of the sky and down to the river. We're going to talk to Brooks Holland, who guides up there in the Alabama River in the Jones Bluff area, and also Lay Lake and some of the other places around there. So, Brooks, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How are y'all doing down south?
Fantastic. Are you sending all that water down to us?
I am. Hey, better you than me.
Well, what's happening up there? Is it kind of messed up right now, or is it getting better?
No, it's actually we hadn't had that much rain. It's been spotty. Some people get an inch and a half, some people 2 inches, but around here, about a half inch, an inch is all we have, so that wasn't even enough to mess the water up.
All right. Well, this time of year, the shad start to spawn, and that really gets the bass going crazy. So is that happening?
It is. I fished a tournament last week on Lay Lake, and we had our limit by 7:30. We had 20.96 pounds, caught them all on a frog, buzz frog, and a white swim jig.
Sounds like they were up in the grass.
They were all in the grass. We probably caught, from daylight to 10 o'clock, we probably caught 30 bass.
And that was, you won that tournament, right? What tournament was that?
I did. It was an invitational they have up there every year, IGS Invitational.
All right, congratulations. Well, how are some other kind of ways to catch fish right now? I love that frog bite this time of year. You pull that frog or a buzz bait across the grass tops, and bam, I mean, I just love that stuff.
Yeah, we basically were throwing the frog in the grass, just moving it real slow. Of course, your buzz frog, just, you know, a frog with the feet on it that churn the water. It's kind of like a frog buzz bait. And then we were going down the edges with a white swim bait with a swim bait trailer on it.
You follow up sometimes when you get a bite on a frog. Sometimes a bass misses that frog. You follow up with another bait.
We do, and we did several times last week. They'd miss the frog. We'd follow up with a swim jig, or we'd even sometimes throw a spinnerbait in there and follow up with a spinnerbait.
And most people, the natural inclination, you hit a frog one time, I'm going to throw the frog right back in the same spot. And that works sometimes, but like you're talking about, is throw something different, huh?
Yep. You know, always have a follow-up bait. You know, spinnerbait's great. You know, jig type, you know, swim jig or regular jig, throw in there. You know, usually they'll hit it.
Well, what else has gone on? Some other ways to catch fish up there?
We've been catching them on the river on ledges, right off the spawning flats. We've been doing really good with a 5-inch swim bait, catching real nice fish and catching right on the breaks of the points going into the coves on shaky heads.
How deep are you fishing?
Anywhere from 8 foot. Our swim bait the other day was I was throwing it in 35 foot of water, letting it go all the way to the bottom, just slow rolling it. We would catch them out of 35 foot of water.
All right, that's Brooks Holland, and contact him, look him up on the internet, and call him, book a trip up there. Sounds like things are going on. So thanks for the report, Brooks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Well, let's hear what Mike Thompson has to say. He's one of our writers at the magazine, Great Days Outdoors magazine. So, Mike, what's going on the causeway?
Oh, John, we're all kind of blue because of this big flood, but we'll get through it. Fishing was pretty good before the rain, you know, came in, and all along the eastern shore, they were doing real good on stringer size reds, the slot size. They were catching them mainly around Mayday Pier, around the Dale Williamson Reef. Live shrimp was the best bait, but you could still catch some on dead bait. The man-made reefs down there around Battles Wharf and down around Point Clear, they're still producing specks and a few white trout. Starting to get an influx of catfish in there and stealing the shrimp. Speaking of the shrimp, they're having a good run on the shrimp. I don't know how bad this rain will mess them up, but earlier in the week, they had tanks full of live shrimp on the causeway and down at Deer River. So I'm hoping that they can keep that supply of shrimp up. A lot of specks have been showing up near Pinto Pass, which in that place used to be one of the best places for speckled trout and redfish until they came in there and gouged it out to store the coal barges there. But there are still some fish being caught in there with live shrimp under a cork. Got a good report on, you know, it's not a lot, but just a handful of flounders in the Mobile River caught on grubs. That's a real good sign when you catch flounder on grubs. Redfish and specks, too, in the deeper slips. So things are looking up. A couple other places, Theodore Canal is producing fish. Dog River is still producing fish. And for those that like to fool with them, the crabs have shown up. There's a lot of nice-sized blue crabs shown up if you want to take your kids out and catch a few crabs and let them have a good time.
I tell you, that's about the most fun you could do with some little kids. Just get some lines and some chicken necks and find you a little piece of beach somewhere or a seawall and throw the chicken neck out and let them pull them in. It's almost like fishing with a hand line. I like to do that a lot better than running traps or nets or something like that. And you bring them in and then you scoop up that crab. And when you take a kid out there, no matter how young they are, no matter how old they are, they're going to have a lot of fun. They can run around, act all kind of funny, and make noise, and don't have to be quiet. It's just a blast.
Well, you know, John, I noticed something. I was looking through some YouTube videos last week about some crabbing up in Maryland, and they were doing it different. They were running like trot lines, like you would for catfish.
Really?
They put baits on there, and they'd run down the line, and they would scoop the crabs off the baits as they went by, but they did something different that I'm going to try. Instead of a regular mesh crab net, they had the basket made out of chicken wire, so it was real stiff, so the crab didn't get knotted up in there. They could scoop that crab and flip him back into the boat, and I'm thinking I need to make me a little basket like that so that I don't have to fight those crabs in that net when I take my wife out there crabbing.
What you think of that, Dr. Bob?
Well, I love it. Crabbing is one of my favorite things to do. I grew up in the panhandle at Destin, and the most fun thing is just to go out with a crab net walking and spot them and scoop them up that way. But, you know, those days are gone now. There's too many people, too many boats. But, you know, the crabs last year was, I think, the best year we've ever had over at Perdido, where I spend some time. But just a great year last year. I hope it's as good this year.
All right, though. A lot of good tips there. I used to like to walk around the weed areas and scoop the soft-shell crabs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, we sure thank you for giving us a report.
All right, good talk with you guys.
All right, we'll talk to Mike again next week, and we'll talk to some more folks in, right after this break. And we'll be right back right after these messages.
If you own a business in South Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors radio show, call 800-597-6828. Our show reaches all over South Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 800-597-6828 to get all the details. That's 800-597-6828, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Alan White and John Felsher, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here are John and Alan.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is John Felsher, and Alan White is off on a turkey hunting expedition. He's trying to get as many turkeys as he possibly can in as many states as he possibly can. And I'm here with Dr. Bob Shipp. If you're interested in participating in the Old Nick's Redfish Roundup, hosted by Trailer Made Tournaments. It's out of Choctawhatchee Basin in Freeport, Florida. Going to be happening on the 20th of May. $12,000 payout. If you want to participate in this, call at 850-835-2222. Or on Facebook, see Trailer Made Tournaments. TRELEMADE tournaments. So check that out. And right now, somebody who might know a little tiny bit maybe about redfish, I'm not sure about that, but we're going to ask him, see if he knows anything about redfish, is Captain Bobby Abrascato. How you doing, Bobby?
Good afternoon, Johnny. I'm glad that Alan didn't give us some kind of lame excuse that he was out sick or something, because we all know right now if there's a turkey around, he's going to be out chasing it, you know?
Well, he is out sick. He's got turkey fever.
Turkey fever, that's right. He does that.
Hey, Bobby, when you're out there in the water, I want you to be safe. There's some fish out there that they're supposedly extinct, but they're eating up everything in the entire Gulf of Mexico. These big red type of fish. They're not a redfish, but it's a red type of a fish. So watch out for these things. They're supposed to be extinct, but they're just going crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dr. Bob will tell you a lot more about it than I do. That type of redfish, but they are definitely, I would say, somewhat, in my opinion, not extinct. But then again, my opinion doesn't mean a whole lot to the federal government, hey. Obviously, because they're doing such a wonderful job with our snapper seasons.
That's
here.
Right.
But
we got the word straight out of the federal government, and they wouldn't lie to us, would they?
Well, you never know who could be listening here, Johnny, so I'm going to be a little bit careful, you know, so the guys in dark suits and sunglasses don't wait for
me. Somebody's pulling up at the door of the station here. Wait a minute now. I might be getting preempted here in a second.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's happened with those spot-tail redfish and those ones with all the spots on them, the more spots on them?
Well, it was good. All the way through the week, the slowest day we had was Monday, and that was, you know, that was the first day after that wind. We had that stretch of so much wind, and it was really kind of difficult to find any kind of decent water clarity. But when I did, you know, the fishing was on, and that was really only just the only anywhere close to slow day. Everything else has really been good, and really impressed with the size of the trout still that I'm catching down at the lower end of the bay, both shallow and deep, just kind of depending on what kind of pattern you want to work. You know, I like the shallow water stuff. The shallower, the better. But, man, the deep water structure bite's been good. It's just one of those good years, you know, for the trout. And then, of course, next week we'll cycle into that full moon period, and that pre- and post-full moon period in May is that's magic, man. That's Christmas time for the trout fishermen, you know. That's when the water temperature levels get to where they're at right now, and you mix that with that spawning activity around the moon, those fish gather up in those huge schools, the big schools of males around the females. And you know, trout, like some species don't feed real well when they're spawning, but trout really do. So it's something to really look forward to. And, you know, if we get a good stretch of weather next week, it's going to be really on. So I would find some way to go fishing next week if you can get away.
All that muddy, fresh water coming out of the Delta, is that going to affect the bay much?
It doesn't. It pretty much gets out of Mobile Bay. It's got to really, really get high, like up at the 8 and 10-foot levels at Barry to even affect the low bay. And then even then, it's just the very mouth of the bay. Everything west of the bridge down in the Sound stays clear, you know, as long as it doesn't start getting into double digits. But where we're at right now, doesn't really have any effect at all. The only thing that's stirring up the water right now is you get windy days like we're having today and yesterday. And even then, you know, you can go find leeward areas that have plenty of clear water. Salinity is a non-issue, though. It's plenty salty everywhere you want to go.
How you been catching them? Have you been on a topwater bite, or you been doing the popping corks?
I was saving the best for last for you, old buddy.
All right.
I had a couple of really good topwater mornings through the end of last week and then into this week, starting out the day with topwaters. And of course, it's been great. And that's only going to even get better next week when we get into that moon period. And those fish get really aggressive. You catch a cloudy day, you're liable to be able to catch them all day long on topwater. And then, you know, when that topwater thing's slowing down, like yesterday, we had the big bright sky. When it slowed down, just switched right over to shrimp and shrimp imitations under a cork, and it stayed on. It didn't even really lose too much in terms of quality of fish, you know. So it's been good, but whichever way you decide you like to do it, you know. But you catch a cloudy day like this, and man, that topwater bite will go on all day.
Now, you said some of them are up shallow and some of them are deep.
You can fish it either way you want to do it right now, man. If the wind lets you to get out the open water to fish structure and you like doing that, that's working too. The shallow water stuff, all of the points, any place you can find any kind of lee has been good. Of course, any kind of shell bottom, hard bottom, grass bottom is holding trout right now from the shallow standpoint. But any of the structure that has a hard bottom, like rocks, where they put down rocks or shell or anything around any of the structure in the form of reefs or rigs or anything like that, has got trout on it.
Bobby,
you know, so it just kind of depends on how you want to fish them.
Bobby, what are you hearing about flounder down there?
That's Doc. That's a inside joke between me and Felcher there. you're talking to probably the third worst flounder fisherman in the state right here. You know, so
buddy always wins a tournament with a big flounder.
What's that?
But you always win these tournaments with a big flounder.
Well, that's because I only have to catch one. That's why. But so my answer usually when somebody asks me about flounder fishing is if I catch one or two, it's on fire. That's how bad a flounder fisherman I am. And most of my flounders, Doc, are caught totally by accident. I haven't caught any. But I can tell you this, the other morning, and I can't remember if it was this week or last week, I was waiting on the charter, you know, just before daylight, and one of the flounder guys came in that does the gigging with the lights and everything, and they're doing good with them. So apparently they're, despite the fact that I'm not catching them, which doesn't surprise anybody, there are plenty of flounder around.
Well, we're getting to that point where there's all kind of variety out there. Any other kind of fish you guys have been catching besides the big three that we talked about?
Well, there's been some blackfish caught and spotted in the last couple of weeks, and this is the time of year when the blackfish start to show up, and they're kind of right on schedule. There's been some seen and caught. There's a lot of mackerel in the bay, a lot of Spanish mackerel in the bay right now, and they've been there really for a few weeks now, and I've been catching them kind of as a bycatch to the trout fishing that I've been doing, but there's a lot of mackerel in the bay right now, and you know, there's always going to be some sheephead. There's a lot of white trout on some of that deep structure I was talking about, a lot of nice-sized white trout that you can catch while you're catching the specks. And, I just love white trout to eat. You know, from an eat standpoint, I'll keep three or four, whatever Kim and I are going to eat that night. I mean, those fry up as good as anything that you're going to cook, you know, especially if you cook them fresh. But those are really the other ones that I'm catching kind of as bycatch to my trout trips right now.
All right, Bobby Abascado, A-Team Fishing Adventures. How can we book a trip with you, Bobby?
Well, that's probably the easiest way. Just go to ateamfishing.com, and there's a Contact Us tab on there. You can reach us on, you know, the old-fashioned way, the way me and you do it, by phone. Or if you're tech-savvy, you can fill out the little form and email it to us, and we'll get you fixed up that way.
And you're on Facebook, too.
Facebook.
We're live on Facebook right now.
Well, A-Team Fishing Adventures on Facebook. As a matter of fact, if you want to see some of that trout action, I got some really cool videos up there of some of the trips of the last couple of days.
All right, Bobby. We thank you for the report.
All right, Johnny, Doc, y'all have a good day.
Let's talk a little bit more freshwater right now and go to Thomasville and see what's happening up at Miller's Ferry from Joe Dunn of Dunn Sports in Thomasville. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, doing great, John. We got a little rain this week. It's got the water a little stained in the main river channel and some of your creeks, but we didn't get as much water above us as like y'all got all of it compared to us. But you can still find some clear water in some of the creeks. The river, like I said, is a little bit stained, but the pattern I'd be working probably would be inside flipping stumps, you know, in that 4 to 6 foot of water. Are either trolling along some of the edges of the ledges in those major creeks that's not all muddy. The ones that's going to find clear water, obviously, is going to be Foster, Gator, probably Mill, and some up in Shell. But the further you go up, you're going to find a little bit more stained water. The further up in the river's going to be a little bit stained, too. But
I believe you're talking mostly on crappie, right?
Do what now?
You're talking mostly about crappie right now, right?
Yeah, on your crappie.
Okay.
Some of your flats are still going to be okay for, you know, there won't be any muddy water in some of those. Some of your boat docks is going to be holding fish real good right now, too.
How about the bass action?
Bass action's still been good. They're catching a lot of stuff still shallow, around your grass beds, doing a lot of punching, you know, and a little top water stuff right now. But punching's been still doing better, you know, lately than anything else. You can fish some of your chatterbaits around the edges of the grass. And then, like I said, your top water stuff starting to do pretty good, too, right now.
All right. That's Joe Dunn of Dunn Sports in Thomasville. Real quick, where can we find your store and contact you?
We're right on 43, right across from McDonald's. The number there is 334-636-0850.
All right, Joe, thank you for the report, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
All right, appreciate it, John.
All right, well, Dr. Bob and I are going to take a little break right here, and we're going to talk red snapper, or lack thereof, or lack of a season, whatever you want to call it, for the rest of the show. So we'll be right back with more of Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Hi, this is Shaw Grigsby, and you're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is John Felsher, and you probably guessed it already. Alan is off, and he's trying to kill a turkey in as many states as he can possibly reach in the season, the short season. And speaking of short seasons, we have only 3 days for snapper, which is kind of an insult. I'm here talking with Dr. Bob Shipp, who is a professor emeritus of the University of South Alabama and renowned marine biologist. But this is what we got. 3 days of a federal snapper season, June 1, 2, and 3. It actually closes at 12:01 a.m. on June 4th. So 3 days and 1 minute is what we got. But the federal permitted charter vessels can go 49 days. Their season doesn't close until 12:01 a.m. on July 20th. The state season in Alabama goes longer than that. It opens on May 26th at 12:01 a.m. Goes through 11:59 p.m. on July 31st, but that's only to 9 miles out. Dr. Bob, 3 day season. To me, that's almost like an insult. Why even have one?
I totally agree. I just think they ought to close the thing down. Maybe that would stir up a little action in Washington, because all of this is a problem with Congress. It's the Magnuson Act, which we have to abide by. I kind of feel bad for fishery service people. They're catching a lot of flack, and it's really not their fault. The fault lies with Congress, and Congress has got to do something. My personal opinion is turn it over to the states. The states have a great history of managing fisheries. I mean, think of the trout fishery, the redfish, flounder. States do a good job. And they could do a good job on reef fish, too. But it's going to take Congress to make that change. And I will say that in the last month, I have heard more stirrings of various congressional offices trying to come up with something that would turn it over to the states. So we just keep our fingers crossed. But you're right. Going back to your original comment, a three-day season is an insult. We just, you know, we might as well just close it and have our recreational snapper fishery in state waters, because that's basically what it's come down to.
I hope those 3 days are not blowing like we had this week, or a tropical depression form out in the Gulf of Mexico or something like that. It just doesn't make sense. Well, when you say Congress and not making sense, I'm kind of being redundant here. But what works in Florida is not necessarily going to work in Alabama, which is not necessarily going to work in Louisiana or Texas. So what you're saying about having the states control it out to 200 miles or
200 miles
or, right, or whatever, I think it'd be a great idea. And with the state, you could get a hold of your state representatives and your other elected leaders and say, this is what we want. This is what we want to do. It's just, you were involved in the season setting process, not this year, but in past, you kind of know how that process works. Tell us a little bit about that.
The problem is that the the National Marine Fisheries Service sets a quota. It's about 12 million pounds for snapper. And then that becomes subdivided between commercials and recreationals, which is about 50-50. And then the recreational part is subdivided between charter guys and the recreational guys. And the fly in the ointment came when the states got sick of this season that the feds have put on them, and they've opened state waters for recreational fishermen.
Texas is all year long.
Texas is all year long.
And theirs goes out, I believe, to 12 miles.
No, it's the same as us. But there's a lot of snapper in state waters, so the recreational guys have caught up their portion of the quota in state waters. And that's why they're down to a three-day season. But your comment earlier about things are different in different states. Off of Alabama, we have somewhere between 10,000 and 17,000 artificial reefs. Every one of those reefs holds several hundred to several thousand pounds of snapper. And I've gone on record that, in my opinion, and I got 30 years of history doing snapper research, we could have a 180-day season, 2 fish bag limit, and it wouldn't make a dent in our population off of Alabama. Now, in other states, it's different. Obviously, off of Texas and Louisiana, they depend a great deal on those petroleum platforms.
Right.
And, you know, that's a great habitat for snapper as well. And, of course, the panhandle off of Florida, they got great snapper bottom too. But, you know, you mentioned the difference in states. In Florida, speckled trout, you know, 4-fish bag limit. Louisiana, what is it, 20?
25, I think.
25? Yeah. That just shows you the difference. That's why it just doesn't make sense to manage the whole Gulf as a single unit. So that's what we're faced with right now. And I do anticipate we're going to see some pretty radical changes in the years to come. I sure hope so.
What can people do to make their voices heard?
Well, you know, the old thing about notify your congressman, but that really works. I will tell you that personally, in the last 2 weeks, I've had contact with 3 or 4 delegations wanting some snapper information. They're trying to get together and put something together. Bradley Byrne, our congressman here, is very interested in the issue. He's been out with us. He's seen what we have out there. He wants to make sure he's fair to everybody, but I think it's becoming pretty clear that the commercial guys and the charter guys are okay. He needs to do something for the recreational people. There's a new senator from Louisiana?
Louisiana?
Cassidy, I believe, is the new senator there.
Uh-huh.
I know his people are working on some things.
And that's a major industry in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. And Senator Shelby has been really, really supportive as well. He, by the way, you mentioned that 9 miles. He's the one that got the Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana boundaries out to 9 miles. The first time he did it was for 1 year. But I just heard the other day that in this funding bill, he has made it permanent. He's inserted some language, so it's now going to be permanent.
Used to be 3 miles, which there weren't any snapper within 3 miles.
Yeah.
Not very many, at least.
That's right. That's right. And as far as Alabama managing, we have a great Marine Resources Division that, you know, they have sponsored the reef building for years and years. They've put out publications for the public so that anybody can go out and fish any of 400 or 500 of those 10,000 reefs and be very successful.
Well, how do they come up with the numbers? Is it just the catches that people report or surveys? Or
yeah, and that, of course, that's another bone of contention. The federal government had people meeting, they had inspectors at meeting people at the docks when they'd come in, and from memory, they would report how many snapper they got and how big they were. That was in the early days, and then they improved the system a little bit, and the states got pretty tired of the federal system because it wasn't working. So each state has instigated their own system to monitor the catch. And like in Alabama, we have video cameras, we have people meeting them at the dock all hours of the day and night, and our numbers and the federal government's numbers are quite different. Texas, and especially Louisiana has a really detailed system, and they're coming up with great numbers. But the feds are using their numbers and not the state numbers.
Well, Alabama has Snapper Check, which is sort of like the Deer Check system, the Game Check, where each boat has to report all the snapper they caught. Now, only one person per boat has to report for everybody for each trip. But I think it's a good deal so our guys can find out what is going on. Now, if we have a 3-day season and, like we say, a bad storm comes up, nobody goes out, they'll say, well, no snapper were caught this season, therefore there's no snapper in the Gulf of Mexico, so we're going to shut it down permanently.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how
it is crazy. It is crazy.
But you've gone out there yourself and dropped cameras down there and done stuff and I've seen some of the videos that you've done. It's just like a wall of red when you drop a camera down.
It sure is. And, you know, I'll take this opportunity to invite people to come to my website, which is bobship.com, and go to videos, because I think we put 4 or 5 videos on there, and these are pretty much random. It's what we have at every station. But take a look at those videos. See for yourself the number of snapper that are out there.
I've seen it myself on the water where you're fishing a spot and you throw some chum out and the whole area around the boat turns red.
Yeah.
It's like the Red Sea out there when they come up to the surface. Big ones, all kinds of them.
Yeah, it sure is. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, a lot of other different things in salt water seem to be mismanaged, in my opinion, too. There's triggerfish, which you can't keep a triggerfish at all right now. There's seasons on amberjack, some of the these other ones, and they say there's so many snapper, they're eating the triggerfish. So then we're going to cut back on the number of snapper we can catch because they don't have any out there. Does that make any sense?
It doesn't. And again, with the cameras, we see plenty of triggerfish. But I will throw out one word of caution. It scares me to death, and that's this lionfish situation. The lionfish are just swarming all the reefs. They look like Christmas tree ornaments on the reefs.
Right.
And they're having some impact, but we just don't know what it is yet. But that's going to be a real problem in the days to come.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that after the break. We'll be right back after these messages on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
If you own a business in South Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show, call 800-597-6828. Our show reaches all over South Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 800-597-6828 to get all the details. That's 800-597-6828, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.
This is Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine and the Alabama Department of Conservation. Here are your hosts, Alan White and John Felsher.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is John Felsher, and Alan is off hunting turkeys today. And no, he's not breaking the law. He's not hunting in Alabama. He's at a different state. But I got Dr. Bob Shipp, who is with us, and he is the author of Dr. Bob's Guide to Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico. So we were talking about snapper and different kinds of things out in the Gulf of Mexico. You started to talk a little bit about lionfish, which is an exotic fish. It comes from the Pacific Ocean, and I think it came here through aquariums. People had them in saltwater aquariums in some kind of way. They got into the Gulf of Mexico, into the Atlantic, and now they're a major problem, aren't they?
They're a major, major problem. They've been around about 25 years, I think, is when they first escaped. People speculate that it was in the early 90s that some of them escaped, either from a public aquarium or people's private aquarium, because they're very popular.
They're beautiful fish.
Beautiful fish. And they got loose, and boy, when they hit the habitat, it was just perfect for them. No natural predators. The temperature was great. The salinity was great. And the population has just exploded. Our artificial reefs, not unusual at all to see 15 or 20 lionfish over the artificial reefs. And they're competing somehow, some way. We just don't know which way it is. I did a tournament a couple years ago at the Floribama, and they had a lionfish category. And the guy that won it came in with 83 lionfish that he had gotten from one reef, one dive.
Spearfishing.
Spearfishing. One tank of air, and he had a wheelbarrow full of lionfish. It was unreal.
I guess that's the only way to get them is spearfishing.
Yeah,
they don't really hit a hook and line.
They
much,
don't,
do
and
they?
People are working on trap designs. So far, I haven't heard of any that had much success, but maybe eventually they would. And they're really good eating fish, even though they're not that big. They're like a brim. And great fillets. My son has a restaurant in Orange Beach, and he's tried it a few times and come out. You know, people really like it, but you got to be careful. They got those spines, so it's not an easy fish to handle.
Now they're venomous. They can kill you if you're allergic to it, but they're usually not fatal.
They're usually not fatal, but extremely painful. They would probably be more painful than a stingray spine or a cat, certainly a lot more painful than a catfish spine. They're related to the stonefishes of Australia, which can be lethal, and I suppose there have been some instances where people have died from it, but it's usually not the case. It's not a lethal situation, but boy, it's painful.
Well, you're going to be involved in the rodeo coming up in July. What are you going to be doing with the rodeo?
Well, I'm the judge.
Here come the judge.
I've been involved in judging since 1982. It's hard to believe. But every year the rodeo seems to get better and bigger and more exciting, especially, you know, the fishermen all know about it, but it's just a great place to bring kids to look because the Dauphin Island Sea Lab, we have a big display tank set up. We got graduate students there to point out the different fish to the kids. It's a really nice viewing area, and it's something a lot of fun to do in July.
Now, I understand and think you participated in this in the past. I don't know if you're doing it this time, but they'll have scientists there at the rodeo looking at different fish, and sometimes they'll get some fish that normally they wouldn't see very much of.
Sure. They're our students. They're South Alabama students from the Sea Lab, and we have four or five of our faculty members that are there, and we have a category called Most Unusual. So anybody that catches something weird, they'll bring it in to compete, and we have had some really odd fish come in as most unusual.
What are some of the most memorable ones?
I think the most memorable is the cornet fish that came in a few years ago. Cornet fish are about 6 feet long. They kind of remind you of a cornet or a big piece of bamboo. They're beautifully colored in the long tubular mouth, and it's something that's just a fascinating fish to look at. But we have a lot of unusual deep water members of the grouper family, which are usually gorgeously colored with yellows and pinks and orange and things like that. So it's a fun thing to come see.
Well, speaking of different types of fish, with the snapper season, only 3 days and two fish per person. Even during the 3 days, assuming that it's not a bad storm that you can't get out then, you usually don't have much trouble catching your two snapper. So then what do you do for the rest of the day? You got to have something to do. You can't catch triggerfish because they're off the limits. So there's some other options that people might need to go looking for while they're out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, the pelagic fishes, those that make migrations, their stocks are really strong. King mackerel, obviously, are really strong. Spanish mackerel are everywhere. You mentioned earlier in the show blackfish, which are triple tails. They're a lot of fun to catch, too, and there's no season on them. There's, you know, a bag limit and a size limit, but that's a fun one. And dolphin fish. Dolphin fish, boy, that you just can't knock them down. They just the populations are real strong and stay that way every year. And of course, it's a great, beautiful fish, great fish to eat. So there's lots of other things, but the reef fishes in general are the ones that that are being closed down or tight restrictions.
Now, the dolphin fish, or the mahi mahi, as people call it, which is not the same as a dolphin,
right?
Mammal from Flipper, the old TV show. Now I'm dating myself, but it's a very fast-growing, fast-breeding fish. It's kind of like the crappie of salt water, isn't it?
That's right, a chicken of the sea. It really is. They, you're right. They propagate just so rapidly. They grow so rapidly. Within 6 months, they reach sexual maturity.
All right. Well, you got a book out, Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to Fisheries of the Gulf of Mexico. It's all about anything you wanted to know about any type of fish in the Gulf, including some I've never heard of. How can we get a hold of your book?
Easy. It's go to bobshipp.com. You can order it online, bobshipp.com. All the ones that are ordered online, I sign. And Father's Day is coming up, and this has turned out in the past to be a great Father's Day gift.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Bob, and we sure appreciate you being here and look forward to talking to you again. Well, that's all we have for this week, and we'll be right back next week with more of Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.